8 minutes past 4 o'clock on 88FM, coming to you live from the center of Belita, the Lifestyle Center, on a Monday. Wow, the weekend was marvelous. The Lifestyle Center right now packed to the scuppers with visitors. Looks like as local Belita residents have taken the week off. Lots have taken the week off. I know that's to be true. And the place is buzzing literally with people visiting from upcountry. If that's one, if you're one of those, then hey, listen, welcome. Nice to have you with us. Hope you enjoy your stay, and maybe one of these days we'll even make it permanent. We'd love to welcome you permanently. Listen, the Educational Studio is an alternative education institution. They cater to the needs of learners who are looking for a different approach to teaching and learning. They offer a structured learning program in a unique, supportive, and relaxed learning environment, and the small class sizes encourages a focus on personalized learning and greater teacher interaction. They offer tuition in both CAPS and international curricula for learners in grades 4 to grade 12. And if you are interested in offering your children such an opportunity, you can give them a ring, 032-940-4471. That's the Educational Studio. Now, being kind of, it's as close to 10 past 4 as one would possibly imagine without it becoming too embarrassing. It's time for us to welcome Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law. He's here. Hooray! Nice to have you back with us, Gav. It's been a week, hey? Just flashed like that.
It has.
Time goes
really,
by.
Really, really quickly.
And I was very interested because a mutual friend of ours is on social media today with quite an interesting declaration. Can I read it to you?
Sure.
His name is Herman Mashaba.
Oh, good.
You like him. I like him as well.
I do. I think he's got credibility. Yeah. And he looks as if he's a straightforward, honest guy who's got the interests of this country at heart.
Well, you know what? It is what it is, hey? Mm. A politician is a politician. It's a special kind of human being.
Agreed.
But Herman's also primarily a businessman who has proven his credentials. He's made himself literally a self-made entrepreneur of note. He certainly...
Well, we need people with business savvy, because the salvation of this country has always been the economy. Yeah. And it seems to be the one thing that the current crop have absolutely no understanding or regard for.
Yeah.
In fact, they see it just as something, a sponge that you can keep squeezing. And, it would be nice if somebody with a business background who understands how, the tax burdens that we bear actually shrinks our economy and prevents companies from expanding and growing, or at least takes the incentive right out of it. Why would you keep investing in a country where you basically tax to the point of not really making a great return?
Yeah.
And that also has an effect on everything, the effect on property and so forth. So
yeah. Well, I mean, we had this conversation not long ago about the nature of the politician and the fact that they are earning so much money being professional politicians that it's in no one's interest really to fix anything or to get anything done.
And, also God bless them, because they've got access to all this money and they have actually no idea what the value of money is. Yeah,
exactly.
And what a difference the money can make if spent correctly. So... I just watch in horror as, we spoke about, with the Shabir Sheikh and that, you were talking about millions, and then you were talking, a decade later about billions, and a decade after that about trillions that are just disappearing. So, it's a horror show that needs reversal. And I really think a guy like Mashaba might just be the sort of salvation we need.
Well, I see he's nailing his colors to the mast here. He says, today we've officially announced that should the NPA not prosecute with criminal charges against those implicated in the state capture report within 7 days, I, Herman Mashaba, in my capacity as Action SA president, but more importantly as a citizen of this country, will lay criminal charges against those involved. Should the NPA then delay prosecution, we will apply for a nolle prosequi certificate from the state. That's an official decision that shows that they're not going to prosecute. And we will proceed with private prosecutions against those implicated. What the war on corruption needs in this country is serious action. We need arrests, prosecutions, and jailing. If the NPA will not do it, we will do it in our private capacity.
Well, that's absolutely a manifesto that you cannot criticize on any point that he makes. All of them are logical and valid points, and something that our country needs.
Now, let's just unpack this premise of private prosecution. I had very little understanding of, until AfriForum got stuck in with private prosecutions, and Gerry Nel was particularly successful in that regard.
So what happens in our law is, if you've got if you lay a criminal charge against somebody, and the prosecutor has a discretion, the prosecutor can look at the case and say, look, I don't think it's a case we're going to prove, or I'm not happy with aspects of the case.
This is the state prosecutor.
The state prosecutor. And the state prosecutor has the sole discretion whether or not to move forward with the prosecution, or whether to decline and say, look, this is not a matter that we're going to drag in front of the courts because it's not worth it, or there's no merit in it, or whatever. Now, prosecutors being human, and the legislator notes that prosecutors are human beings and they can make mistakes, and if a matter is of such importance to the complainant that he really feels strongly he would like the prosecution to happen, he is entitled to ask the prosecutor for a certificate nolle prosecute, which means that the in writing the prosecutor says, I'm not going to prosecute this matter. But then you can apply to court, and you can show the court that you believe that you've got merit, that there is evidence for what you say, and that you would like privately to prosecute the person. So now your attorney or your advocate takes the seat of the public prosecutor, and or the state advocate, who's the public prosecutor in the High Court, and so your privately employed attorney becomes the prosecutor, your privately employed advocate, and then you appear before the judge, and the person gets summoned to court, and you prove your case, and they have to defend it. So you can take on the role. You need the permission of the court, of course. So you do need to show a judge that, you know, there is merit.
That it's not a frivolous irritation.
Exactly. Because, you know, we also don't want everybody prosecuting each other left, right, and center for all sorts of arbitrary things.
But clogging up the system even more.
Correct. But, you know, obviously it's massively in the public interest that those that were fingered in the Zondo report answer for the allegations that are made. And, you know, I should imagine that a court would quite easily, in the case of a nolle prosecute, say, well, you know, there it is. It's all in the report. And we need to prosecute those accused.
You know, here is the question. If, however, the National Prosecuting Authority decides, well, okay, we can't go that route because they've got some pretty sharp cookies in the jar, maybe we should just have a lip service prosecution attempt at these 1,000 plus individuals, and hopefully it'll all kind of, you know, South Africans used to things just dragging on interminably, and eventually they go away. I mean, look at you mentioned Shabir Sheikh. Well, you know, he's still dying. Apparently, his terminal illness has lasted for how many years?
He's basically going to malinger into a scratch handicap if he's not careful. But
and we're quite happy with that. And Jacob Zuma as well. He was supposed to be sitting in jail all this time. Mm. He's obviously not. And we are okay with that. We tend to just get on with it because what else can you do? So maybe, in a sense, we've been lulled into that kind of malaise where we're not really expecting anything to happen. But here comes a politician with a point to make and an axe to grind, and more importantly, the means to do it. And he's prepared to now take this thing on. If the state prosecutor says, no, hang on a sec, we are going to prosecute them, but obviously they're not going to do a good enough job, is there then an opportunity for someone to come in from the outside?
To intervene as sort of an amicus curiae or something like that? I think it's not likely that the court will permit that because, you know, I'm not fresh on it, but, you can come in as a party if you've got some sort of interest in, or social interest, or greater interest in the outcome. It's often where there's a case that's being heard on a point of law that might change the law, might change the common law, and you've got that sort of interest. Whether you can come in and say, look, alongside the prosecutor, we're going to bolster his work, I don't know, and I don't think that's possible. But, it is what the ANC did very craftily over time is they've sort of starved the prosecuting authority, the investigating guys. I mean, I believe there's not many people with forensic credentials left in the, in the investigative services. And so, you know, you, you, you constantly, you know, you shut down the Hawks, and then you do the, you know, and you call them something else, and then you're the next guys, and then the next guys. You know, they were the Scorpions originally, and they were doing a good job, but the minute that too many politicians got fingered by them, suddenly they were baddies, and they closed it down for being a corrupt sort of entity, and you sort of chip away at SARS, and you chip away at all the sort of institutions, and, you know, when you finally have to rely on them, they've been watered down, and that's, you know,
that's pretty much where we are right now.
They're the key to our democracy. They're the key to any democracy, whether you're here or anywhere else in the world. If you're a democratic country, you need the functioning of your institutions.
Yeah. And it's fairly obvious that they're not functioning at the moment. The prosecuting authority. Well, I mean, ultimately, when Hermione Cronier said, "Cheers, she's out of here," one fired across the bow was that red notice issued for the expedition of the Guptas,
yes,
which has been a very interesting exercise. But who's going to follow up with that? She's out. Whoever's replacing her doesn't seem to have shown any kind of...
Look, it's quite obvious that in order to become president, that our current president had made a deal that those that were guilty would not face any consequences, because there have been none, and there's no other explanation for the fact that there's been zero prosecution and not one rand recovered. So, you know, I've said before on air that I sometimes wonder if we can prosecute our way out of this trouble, or whether we need to have sort of Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and we say, look, you know, come tell us the truth. Like the Zonda report, I thought would sort of do that, but you know, it's not linked to any kind of consequences, you know, for those that have been fingered as having their hands in the cookie jar. And so,
well, he's recommended that they be investigated, but I thought that's what he was doing.
well, yeah, his job is not to prosecute them. His job is to identify whether or not this concept of state capture actually happened. And I think his conclusion is emphatically that it did. And on the back of that, he's recommended, well, we need to investigate these people, because if these things are true, then they've committed massive crimes, and they need to be obviously prosecuted for them. So, yep.
Well, it's a very interesting question. If Herman Mashaba and I believe he's good for it. He said he's going to rush ahead. He's given them 7 days in which... He's a
pretty serious guy, and he's backed up everything that he's done. You know, one of the things that one of the disappointments that he had was when he took over as Joburg mayor, and he went to Cyril with something like 130 corruption cases, and nothing ever came of them.
Yeah,
you know. So
I wonder why he didn't prosecute them then.
Well, you know, it could be that it's only now that they're a pretty established party that they have the funds. You know, because when you do a private prosecution, you're paying advocates daily, you know, to appear in court.
Would it not be in the legal fraternity's interest to appear pro bono in some of these cases?
Well, you know, if the private schools will have their children pro bono, and if the bank would let them have their mortgage pro bono, you know, these are people who've studied hard and they're
also excessively wealthy. I mean, they're the top level legal. You would know them personally. They've made a fortune. The bottom line is, big business, but to
be in the position that they are. They're incredibly well educated. They've worked incredibly hard. They still do, and they don't. You know, these guys are working.
But
10
this
hours
would be
a day.
An investment in the maintenance of the structure in which they operate. Because if it collapses,
some do. Others, you know, ultimately, why should a very small fragment of our society bear the entire brunt of the problem? You know, I think they should be paid, and I think what should, because I tell you one thing: if you don't pay them and they're doing it as a pro bono, it's going to be on the lowest of their list of priorities.
Well, yes, so getting back to
from a political point of view, and I know that, you know, I know every attorney will tell you the same thing. If I'm doing something for you for nothing, of course, I will do it. But it's not going to have priority over someone who's paying me to do it. And
but would it not be the biggest advert ever? If you were to take on a case pro bono against one of these very well-known rogues and push it to the... And the public knows you're doing it pro bono, and you win,
And who's the guy? Who's the guy who can do that? The chap who's not busy, and the chap who's not busy is not busy for a reason. So yeah. It doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. You need to take the top guy, pay him top dollar, and get a good job done. And that's the same. You know, you always get what you pay for. And if you've got a party like Action SA, and they've got donors and they can contribute, and you know they've got companies and individuals, and everybody's contributing to the fund. Well then, you know, we all share the.
But you know, Gav, there are heart surgeons and neurosurgeons and, you know, medical people that do pro bono work because they care.
Yeah, some do. And some advocates do, but you know, I can't see an advocate. You know, something like this is going to take your whole year.
Ah,
you know, it is. You know, you're going to
and if it was a team of top guys that were doing it in tandem.
They could, but you know how long it's going to take to prosecute somebody to conclusion. It's going to take several months, years in the case of Zuma. You know, it's a massive commitment. It's not going in and performing a 6-hour surgery.
No, sure.
But
you see, if the boat is sinking and there is a
I feel like I'm defending my advocate colleagues here. I hope they're listening.
We're all in this situation together, and we all stand to lose an awful lot if these rogues get away with it. If, however,
the answer to what you're saying is quite simple. Become a card-carrying member of Action SA. At least they're doing something and contribute to the party, and then they can afford to pay the best to do these prosecutions. Because I can assure you, if they don't get the best, the people who are being accused will have the best.
Yeah.
And then we'll have proven nothing. So it is important to get the best, pay for the best, and put up a good fight. I like the idea. I think Herman's one of those guys. You know, he doesn't take no for an answer. He's a very determined, willful fellow, and I think his heart's in the right place. I'm sure, like all politicians, that he has he'll have certain aspects to his personality or whatever that you know, that he will have faults. But by and large, I know him personally. I've listened to him speak publicly, and he's a man who's really committed to what he's doing. So let's see what happens. It's at least it's one party in this country that's in the official or that's in the opposition that's saying, listen, we're not just going to go to Parliament every year and lament what's going on. Yeah. We're actually going to act and do something.
I just remember when my dear friend David Rattray, who was probably one of the most foremost champions of South Africa and South African isms, you know, to the he put the battlefield stories on the map in the UK to a large degree, and when he was murdered on his property at his funeral at Michael House, I looked around in that chapel, and there were some of the most important movers and shakers in the country, and I'm talking top level politicians and businessmen across the board, who, without even thinking about it, could have in their private or personal or public capacity at that moment, because everyone was talking out about this, the rogue actions on farms to the unprotected, etc., etc., because David was murdered on his farm. There may have been more to that case, but certainly, as you know, farmers have been decimated on the land, and everyone's been talking about it, but no one has ever done anything about it. And the point is, there was no will. There is still very little will to actually do anything. You know, bring back the commando structures or to something concrete. And I thought to myself, they're all sitting there making the noises, but not one soul has actually stood up publicly and said, we're going to do this or that or anything concrete, and they never did. And this is the problem with the country. I don't see any business leader standing up at the moment and saying, we've gone to this point and no further. We're not taking it anymore.
Well, one thing that has been conspicuous is the silence of corporate South Africa when it comes to what's obviously been state capture.
Enormous. And more than that, there's been in certain quarters a kind of tacit complicity with it. You know, if you look at the numbers.
Well, if you think, you know, there's no way that trillions can move out of government without at least the complicity of those who move the money. Yeah. So And you know, we have all these rules, FICA and so forth. And, you know, just is there a FICA center? Do they not, why have they not picked up on all of this? There must be massive outflows of cash.
Yeah. So in a sense, I think, you know, if we're all okay with the status quo, then we mustn't even talk about it, because what's the point?
Well, we need some, that's always the point, is that, you know, your average person is just trying to make ends meet, whether it's going to their job of work at 8 o'clock in the morning and coming home at five. And, you know, in that space, there isn't time to go and agitate politically, and there isn't time to do X, Y, and Z. That's why we have political parties that we can get behind.
Yeah.
And the big thing is you need a figure behind which to stand and say, okay, I support you, get the job done. I'm gonna be a card-carrying member, pay my subs, and off we go. And so that's how you get things done. I don't have the time. You don't have the time, Dave.
Well, you make a very good point there. And this is an interesting one, because here is a politician, a leader of a political party, making a statement that, you're quite right, it should galvanize every South African to at least thinking towards, well, if he's prepared to do that, then I'm going to support that, because I want that to happen.
Well, that's right. And I mean, you know, you've mentioned it before, but we've kind of like had an official opposition that seems over time just to be happy to be the official opposition. And, you know, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than making important speeches in Parliament, because it doesn't galvanize anyone, and it's not making any change. And, you know, if you look at the trajectory of corruption over the 26 years, it's only gone north. It hasn't calmed down. It hasn't slowed down. This business is normal, and I'm even sure that in the light of Zondo Commission, everybody's just carrying on like normal. Because if you're in a situation that they're in, where you can steal public funds with utter impunity, and you were the only one who didn't, you know, would you be being foolish?
And it's got to the point where there is an arrogance that and a swagger with it. When you are in that list, in the frame, so to speak, of the 1,000 plus people that have been shown to be, you know, at least people of interest when it comes to, let's examine the role you've played. Not whether you've played a role. We know you've played a role. Let's just see how deep it goes. And yet, if you look at the way they're continuing to operate, it's without even a shadow of shame. Nothing. There is no dodging the
well, you know, it's funny when you're dealing with other people's money, it's not as direct as I look in my bank account and I go, oh my goodness, I've given somebody my details and now he's spending crazily out of my bank account. And this is public funds. It's sort of an amorphous amount of money that sort of somehow government disperses. And, you know, this, the only people that can really keep an eye on themselves is them. And, you know, and obviously the Auditor General, who I to their credit, I mean, you know, they do lots of, almost all the municipalities have been failed by the Auditor General for their accounting practices. But, you know, ultimately, we got to get to a stage where, and as I said, I'm not sure if we can prosecute our way out of it, because there's just so many people and so many names. And but, you know, I do know from speaking to magistrates and judges that, you know, they're saying, bring them. We want to hear these cases. It's not as if, at least the judiciary are independent still.
So yeah, it's a good point.
So, you know, the point is to get the right sort of staffing in the prosecution and the right sort of staffing in the investigative services in the South African police force, and get quality people in there so that these cases can not only just be investigated but brought to.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is the model going forward, because obviously it's going to be a cooperation between civic society and the state.
Well, you need
where there is lack of capacity, it must be capacitated by those that are able to.
You need to, certain branches of government by design should be free of political influence, and they're not.
Interesting.
Nick, it's been clear that Becky Cele, for instance, you know, it's quite obvious. He's an ANC dog, and he's on an ANC leash. You know, that's just how it is. And the same with the president, and the same with, you know, the whole cabal. You know, there's just there's no political will, so there's no funding, and there's no urgency to prosecute anyone.
Well, here is hoping that Herman Mashaba's initiative
it is good news.
Bears fruit, and I am 110% behind him. I think that's there at last is a politician that's prepared to stand up and be counted, not just in words, but indeed, if this is what he's going to do, if he's going to go ahead and privately prosecute these rotters, well, then he deserves support.
Remember that he's banging his head against this edifice. And whereas he could simply have just gone on and carried on with his business and made his fortune, but you know, he stepped away from his business interests and left them to Connie and his kids, and you know, he's devoted himself to this, and you know, at great personal expense, both in terms of time and money. So you have to admire that, and that's not the actions of somebody who's on the make.
Well, again, three cheers for at least some semblance of an attempt to get some kind of clarity and finality here and some sort of sense of action and justice, ultimately.
Yeah, I applaud
which
it.
Which is what we need now. We want to see that there's not just lip service to doing the right thing, but actually doing the right thing.
Well, it's now become an existential crisis for our country. And if we don't resolve this, you know, then obviously our country goes the same way as our neighbors, you know, where they become corrupt to the point of being incapable of reform.
Yeah. It's close, but I don't think we're there yet. And I
think the average South African is outraged. And as you said, you know, we don't individually have the time to go and stand and saber rattle and protest and so forth. It's not really in most of our sort of genes either. But I do think that you know, it's the job of the opposing political parties, and our job is to support them.
Well said, and on that note, we'll wrap it up for today, but always a good conversation with Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. And if you need a good attorney in your corner, he's going to charge you for it, and you heard why. Because he's damn good at what he does. But we look forward to a conversation again next Monday with Gavin representing his particular brand of intelligent content. Gavin, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Dave. If you remind me, maybe next year we should, or next week we should chat about Roe versus Wade, which has recently been overturned in the U.S.
And very interesting.
That's quite an interesting topic.
The consequences of that are huge for America, and I think for the rest of the world as well.
Well, you know, it is interesting for us because we always tend to be in lockstep, and we tend to follow what's happening in countries like America and areas like Europe and so forth. We tend to take their lead on a lot of things. So
well, that'll
it's important for us to think about here.
That will be our conversation for next Monday. Stay close to us. We're on 88FM locally, and we stream via the internet everywhere else via our apps. Gavin, nice chatting to you. Thanks for joining me
on
the afternoon show. Here's Tears for Fears.